Amen. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and open them up to the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter number one. It is going to be a little bit of a topical type message, so we are going to be turning to different passages of scriptures throughout the service. If you do not have a Bible, there is one in front of you and between the two hymn books if you'd like to follow along. Haggai chapter number one. Last year, we started off, well, I guess it's still the same year, but at the beginning of 2020, we started off with our theme, Consider, and we talked about considering Christ, and we talked about consider who Christ is, how he talked about his position, his preeminence. We talked about consider what Christ did, talked about how he always glorified the Father and became the Savior of the world, and consider what Christ would want you to do. The book of Haggai has just a couple phrases in here that I know we're familiar with, but just a little bit of a reminder. And we're going to look at the thought or the message title, Consider What You Are Neglecting. Consider what you are neglecting. So as we started 2020 with the idea of consider, we're going to close 2020, at least the Sunday morning service, with considering also. Now, what does the word consider mean? It means to think, to reckon, to count up, or to reason with thoroughness and completeness, to think out carefully, to reason thoroughly, and with careful deliberation, consider accurately and distinctly again and again. It's talking about fixing your mind on something. And I think it's when we come to the message in a sermon, that's what we're supposed to do. When you hear the preaching and the word of God, and it's considering what's being said. It's talked about when we read the Bible, not just supposed to read it to just kind of go through it just to be done. You're supposed to consider and meditate on the things that are being said. So this morning, we like to consider something a little bit different, those things that maybe we're neglecting. We've looked at many things about considering. We consider our ways this year. We consider our end. We've considered the great questions of the Bible. We've gone through a lot of those. But the Lord kind of led me, especially when we've been talking about gifts just a little bit during the Christmas season. We talked about the gift of his presence a little bit on Christmas Eve. Talked about the gift of helps a few weeks ago on Sunday night. Talked about the gift of life last month. A lot of different things. Then I began thinking, what about those gifts that people don't use? I was reading through it. Did you know there's a list of different things that people don't use that they get gifts? You know what the number one thing is? Fruitcake. How many people like fruitcake? Anybody? Wow, I know who to give it to when they give it to me. So, number two thing that was the most neglected gift out there was exercise equipment. I don't get it, but they say they get it on Christmas and they sell it at a garage sale in the month of June. Another one was pets. Somebody said that's one of the most neglected gifts is when someone gives somebody else an animal. Gift cards. So that's dumb. Well, it is kind of dumb to neglect a gift card. It's like cash. But they say there's over $1 billion every year that's never used on people's gift cards. Over $1 billion that's left. Now, they sell $15 to $20 billion, but usually every year they have $1 billion that is, I guess, left to the companies. Another thing, cookbooks. It's just not used. More importantly, diet books. Last but not least, this is for Brother Joe, ugly Christmas sweaters. That's one of the most neglected gifts. I know some people love them. Other people don't like them. So these are neglected gifts. But you think, well, what does that have to do with the sermon? You think about it, there's things that we neglect in our lives, things that are available to us that we do not use. And I want to consider about that for a few moments today. But let's jump in here in Haggai chapter number one. And I think some of you that's been around for the last 17 years with us, though that at the beginning of the new year or the end of the new year, end of the last year, we like to think about this phrase, and we probably talk about it every couple years. Look what it says in verse number three. Then came the word of the Lord, Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" So what the scripture is saying, Haggai, God spoke to Haggai about saying this, look, is it time for this, that you dwell in your sealed houses? And this sealed house means it's a house of luxury, while the house of the Lord, or the temple, is lying in waste, saying that they're neglecting the things of God. And then he says, verse number 5, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So God said, I want you to think about this. You have used your resources, your time, your energy to make sure that you're living in a house that is in some ways and forms luxurious, but you have allowed the things of God, the house of the Lord, to be lying in waste. He says, what do you think about that? He says, I want you to take time to think about that. He says, I don't want you just to ignore it. I don't want you just to say, oh, yeah, that's right, we should change. He says, no, I want you to consider this. Let's keep on going. It says, verse number 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put him into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So what the scripture is saying there in verse number 6, he's saying, hey, look, you're not being satisfied when you're living like this. He says, you're not being satisfied. You're working a lot, but it doesn't seem like you're accomplishing anything. You eat a lot. It doesn't seem like you're ever satisfied. You drink a lot, but doesn't. He says, all the things that you're doing isn't bringing fulfillment. And the reason why is because they had wrong priorities. Now consider this. You think it's working really well. You think you have this great house, but when God's things aren't being taken care of, the other areas of your life, they're lacking. So today, I want you to think about this. Consider your ways. Consider those things that you may be neglecting. As I told you, we are going to be moving quickly and going to different passages of Scripture. So we're going to go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, there is a story about Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple. And most of us know what that story is like. And we talk about Mary and Joseph. They go to the temple. They do what they're supposed to. And then they leave. And they leave something behind. What do they leave behind? They leave Jesus behind. So gifts that are neglected. The first thing I want you to think about is misplaced gifts. Misplaced gifts. You ever lose a gift? One of the bad things about the gift card, and the reason why there's $1 billion left on it, is not because people sometimes are being frivolous, it's because sometimes it gets shuffled around and thrown away. And I know sometimes people are looking at it. I have a son, one of my sons, I'm not going to say which one it is, but he's bad at losing gift cards. Even this past Christmas, now my wife doesn't know this yet, but we were at my parents' house for a day, and she said, they got a gift card from their uncle, and she said to them, make sure you put it in your wallet right now so you don't lose it. Well, on the way home, my dad texts me and says, hey, where's this $25 Kohl's gift card from? And I says, oh, see, shh, not supposed to say who it is. And it was sitting there. It's because it was misplaced. And of course, my son had a reason why. And he said, well, it's because I set it somewhere. When they were giving me, it must have just fell out or whatever. It was misplaced. It was neglected. It wasn't taken care of. And here's a little principle here in Luke chapter number 2. I want you to think about, and I think it will help establish what we're talking about, the things that we neglect. Here in Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to go ahead and start reading in verse number 42. It says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And they found him not. They turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So as the story's going along, they go to do the feast, and it was one of the requirements of the Jewish male. They go to, and they take their family. Jesus stays behind. It says that they're traveling for a day. You know, there's people that don't take care of their kids. They don't ever know where they're at. Of course, they're not going to lose them for a whole day. But that's when the Mary and Joseph turn around, they look around, they figure that Jesus is with their kinsfolks, and Jesus at that age is kind of taking care of himself a little bit anyway. And they go looking for him, and they find out he's not with them. So they go all the way back to Jerusalem, and they find Jesus sitting there, and he's answering questions, and he's talking to the teachers and the scribes and all those different things. And it's amazing to think he knows. What's the principle here? Mary and Joseph take off and they don't realize Jesus is with them. It's a misplaced gift. Jesus, the greatest gift. How do we apply that to our life? Well, you think about this word, it says here, supposing. And what they're saying here in verse number 44, but they supposing him. That means assumes to be true. Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was somewhere in the caravan with them. And the reality is, we suppose many times that we're right with the Lord. We can all rush into a day or to an event and realize later we never to check, never put God in our thinking, never put God in our thoughts. We're not wise because we're not caring about our fellowship with the Lord. We never even acknowledge his presence. We never acknowledge his desires. We just assume, hey, God, this is the way I'm going. I know you're going to be happy with it. I know you're going to be pleased with it. But in all reality, he's not interested in it. Now, I know what you're going to say, Pastor. You said he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Mary and Joseph left him behind. It's the principle here. What about our fellowship with the Lord? Ironside put it this way one time. It is never true that the Lord Jesus Christ leaves those whom he has saved by his grace. It is never true that having taken anyone up in his loving kindness, he later forsakes them. But it is sadly true that Christians may go on taking it for granted that they are in fellowship with him when in all actuality they have drifted away from him in heart. They are not enjoying his presence and they hardly realize their loss. I wonder if there are not some of us here today who have had that experience. It is so easy to go in an outward form of religiousness and not really enjoy the presence of Christ. It is possible to sit at the table of the Lord and to be conducting services for the Lord and yet not have the presence of the Lord with us. It is possible to go on day by day thinking everything is all right when in all reality things are very, very wrong because we're out of touch with him. And I know it's probably at least a few years ago we preached that message about missing gifts and we were talking about this and we... Do you miss the fellowship with God? I mean, was there a moment in time in your life that you were closer to him? Have you neglected your relationship with him? Is there something going on in your heart where he doesn't speak to you like he used to? We're talking about entering into a new year, and I know 2020 was completely different than what anyone else thought but God himself. God knew exactly what was going to happen. But during this time, have we drawn closer to him? Have we sought after him? Have we done what we needed to do? What does Mary and Joseph do? They realize that Jesus is not with them. And what do? They turn back and they go and find him. So my encouragement today, and we're going to look at a little bit about this, is are we going to turn back and seek after him? Is there something that we maybe left Jesus for? Is there something that we're just kind of saying, okay, I'm going this way, and I know you're going to be happy with it, Lord. I know you're going to be pleased with it. But the reality is our fellowship good with him? Do we seek him? And that's what Mary and Joseph does. It says that they go back, and it says they in verse number 45, it says, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Mary and Joseph realize they misplaced something. And when we feel like we've lost the gift card or lost the present that was very valuable to us or something that meant a lot to us, we'll look around. We'll seek things out. We'll search things around. Gift cards are neat because they fit in your wallet, but it'd be nicer if they were bigger so you don't lose them so easy. And it'd be nicer if we, but I've seen my sons, especially my one son, rip apart the room looking for a gift card because they misplaced it. I wonder, is there one of us, if not more than one of us, that need to begin seeking after him again? That needs to turn back and say, where did Jesus go? Jesus didn't go anywhere. You know where he's at? He's exactly where he left him at. And the Bible says, if we'll draw nigh unto him, guess what? He'll draw nigh unto us. He's not the one that's left us in the fellowship. He's not the one that has broken the fellowship. It's our sins that have broken our fellowships. If we'll seek after him with proper direction, if we will turn from sin, as the Bible says, if my people which are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What the Bible is saying there is that you can have a right relationship with him today if we'll learn to turn from our sins and if we learn to turn from those things that we have made idolatry in our lives. We learn to turn from the hindrances, as it says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We must have a proper focus when we're seeking after him. So I want you to think about things that we neglect. Do we neglect our relationship with the Lord? Do we neglect our relationship with God? Is it as Mary and Joseph, we just assume he's going with us, that we assume he's okay with what we're doing? We just suppose, or has our heart grown cold? I think the greatest thing we could do, number one, if you're not a Christian, is get saved and get your heart right with the Lord before the new year. But I think one of the other great things that you can do as a believer is say, okay, I need to consider my ways. As we looked in Haggai, that phrase, consider your ways. Consider those things that you're neglecting. Are you neglecting your relationship with God? Is it something that's not where it's supposed to be in the primary place of your life? Psalms 27:8 says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Where did Mary and Joseph leave Jesus? Right where was he? It was right where they had left him. I think many times what's going to happen in our own lives are things that we're looking for the Lord, but we're not finding him because there's things that are stopping us. So here's a couple things about the neglected gifts. There's three things I would like to look at, and none of these things are going to be new. These are all things that are scriptural, but things that we need to be reminded of going into a new year. Just like these most neglected gifts, the exercise equipment, the fruitcakes, the gift cards, the pets, the cookbooks, the diet books, the ugly Christmas sweaters, are you neglecting the privilege of prayer? Are you neglecting the privilege of prayer? And what a wonderful, if you would just consider. So we talked about take time to think. Take time to reason this out. The God of the universe gives us a direct line to him, and people don't even use it. You think about if your favorite star, I don't know who your favorite sports star is. I would start naming players, but most of you guys wouldn't know who it was. LeBron James, probably most people know who he is. If LeBron James sent you a text and said, hey, here's my phone number, call anytime you want. And, you know, some people would be like, that's great. And they would start calling as many times as they could. And I don't know who your favorite person in the world is. Maybe it's a political figure, or maybe it's a preacher, or maybe if you had direct access to someone you really looked up to, it's something you would take advantage of. But consider the God of the universe, who loves you, who knows you, who has direction for you, who has leadership for you, says, pray without ceasing. But so many people neglect the privilege of prayer. Okay, some ways that we neglect the privilege of prayer. The first thing is, we neglect prayer when we don't pray. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Pretty simple. It's if we neglect prayer when we don't pray. And it's in the scriptures, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Luke 11:12 says, and he said unto him, when ye pray, he's teaching them about the model prayer, and there's an expectation there. And it says, when ye pray, he was expecting that we would pray. The first thing why we neglect prayer is because some people just don't pray. When's the last time you had a good time of prayer and fellowship with the Lord? When's the last time you've gone to him? And he's taught us how to pray. He's given us commandments about praying. He's told us to pray without ceasing. He's taught us parables in the Bible about praying. We all know the significance and the importance of it, but are we neglecting it? Are we neglecting it? Are we not taking care of it? The second thing is, not only do we neglect prayer when we don't pray, we neglect prayer when we don't pray believing. James chapter 1, verse number 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Man, what an amazing verse there. He's saying not just in verse number 5, it talks about if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraid, if not. Then he says, but don't you dare ask, not believing that he won't give it to you. He says, hey, look, don't neglect prayer. First of all, you need to pray. Secondly, you need to pray that God's going to, believing that God's going to answer your prayer. There's so many prayer promises that are found in the Bible that correlate with just even prayer. And it's talking about what you ask, you'll receive. If you ask according to what he desires for your heart, you say, Pastor, I don't get everything I want just because you don't have the same desires that God does. Whatever God desires for your heart, God will give to you. He's not going to withhold anything good away from those who love him and those that fear him. And James 1:6, let him ask in faith. You're neglecting the privilege of prayer when you don't pray. You're neglecting the privilege of prayer when you don't pray by faith, believing that God will answer. Because he says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and toss. Our prayers are so often driven that way because we don't believe that God hears and will answer our prayers. Last but not least, on how to neglect your privilege of prayer is we neglect prayer when we pray with sin in our hearts and sin in our lives. As I said, Mary and Joseph had to turn around and go back and look for Jesus. There were some things they had to realize. Number one, that he was missing, the relationship. There was something wrong there, but they had to leave behind some things. And if we truly want to take advantage of the privilege of prayer, if we truly want God to hear and answer our prayers, we need to do it with him being first in our lives. It says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." The Bible says in the book of Psalms, "If a guard iniquity in a heart, the Lord will not hear you." The scriptures are saying there, hey, look, there is a privilege to pray. The God who created the universe has given us an opportunity to pray. But the problem is there's many Christians who don't even pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But there's so many of us that don't even take time to pray. You're neglecting it. You neglect it by not praying. You neglect it by not believing when you pray. You neglect it with sin in your heart. If you have sin in your heart, if there's something before you and before God in your life, the Bible says God's not going to hear you. The reason why you're not getting your prayers heard and answered is because there's something between you and him. Like I said, don't misplace that gift of that relationship you have with him and that fellowship. Another thing is not only the privilege of praying, but are you neglecting the word of God? Are you neglecting the word of God? As we're going into 2021, consider your ways in 2020. Go back and look, and many of us had more time at our house than we've had at any other time in our adult lives. Many people that were on lockdown, and many people who didn't work as many hours, and many people had their lives turned upside down. They had more opportunity to pray, and they had more opportunity to read their Bibles. Now consider your way in 2020. Go back to the book of Haggai when he's saying, hey, look, consider how you allowed all these wonderful things for your own house, but you let the house of the Lord lay waste. Now he says, consider your ways. How has that worked out for you? And in 2020, this opportunity, and when you had more time, did you pray more? Did you read your Bible more? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad or guilty, but I'm praying that the Holy Spirit God will convict your heart and say, hey, look, I need to change. I need to do things differently. I did wrong here. I have misplaced the privilege of prayer, and I have misplaced the power of the word of God in my life, and I need to go back, and I need to make a commitment and say, hey, I need to make prayer a priority. I need to make the Bible a priority. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, which means it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, which means it tells us when we're wrong, for correction, which means it tells us how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, which tells us how we can keep it right. So the Bible can do amazing things in our heart and our life if we choose not to neglect it. But we neglect the Bible when we don't read it. Just like the scripture said, you know, when ye pray, you have not because you ask not. Is some people not only neglect prayer, they neglect the word of God. Many times they go hand in hand because the word of God is what reveals the heart of God in our lives, and that's what causes us to pray. We neglect it when we don't read it and don't meditate on it. Psalms 1:2 puts it this way, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." How often do we read the Bible? How often do we consider what it says? We neglect not knowing the scriptures. We neglect the Bible by not knowing them. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." He looked at a group of people and he says, look, you made a mistake. The reason why you made a mistake is because you do not know the scriptures. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." What the scripture is saying there is, hey, Jesus is saying, hey, look in those scriptures. You think you have eternal life by your good works. You think you have your eternal life by other ways, but you're erring. You don't know them because you don't know the scriptures. You do not know me. Hebrews chapter 4 puts it this way, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the intent, the thoughts and intents of the heart." We neglect the word of God when we don't let the word of God do its work in us. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the Bible is saying that all things are open before the Lord. He sees everything. He knows everything. And the Word of God is the one that's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Other people may think they know you. Other people may try to interpret what they think you're saying. But the Scripture is one that pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, but we neglect it. People don't even read it. It's something that can change our lives. And we've neglected the privilege of prayer. We neglected the power of the Word of God. The next thing, the third thing, as a neglected gift, is we neglected the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You think about it. One of the most amazing gifts that we have is the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. But we don't even use him. We neglect it. We neglect the Holy Spirit when we don't lean on him. Think about what the Scriptures, Jesus himself on the way to the cross said what the Comforter would do. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So what the Scripture is saying there is he's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead you in all things. He's going to bring things to remembrance. But when's the last time you spoke to him? When's the last time you relied on him? Holy Spirit, Lord, teach me these things. Show me these things. Lead me. Direct me. We neglect the Holy Spirit of God when we choose not to lean upon him. We also neglect the Holy Spirit of God when we don't give him control. In Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. What the Bible is saying here, if the Holy Spirit's the one in control of our lives, he's going to produce fruit in your life. He's going to produce things such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You say, Pastor, I can't do those things. That's not me. That's true. It's not you. But it's what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. We're neglecting the Holy Spirit of God when we do not let him lead us and guide us and when we don't lean upon him. But when we don't give him control and we want our own way, and you say, Pastor, there's no way I can be a loving, joyful, peaceful, gentle man or woman. The Scripture says that. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, this is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, it's inside of you. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if you're a Christian today, you can be long-suffering, you can be meek, you can be temperate, you can be all those things because that's what the Holy Spirit of God is, and he lives in you if you're a believer today. But we neglect it. We want to rule and we want to reign. We don't pray with faith. We don't believe that God can make a change. And I want to encourage you in 2021, consider your ways. Look back over this past year and say, okay, how did I do on my own? Did I neglect prayer? Did I neglect the Word of God? Have I neglected the Holy Spirit of God? Consider your ways. In the book of Haggai, he was spoken and he says to him, you've messed up. You care so much about your own house and you made it look great, but you forgot about the things of God. And I think in our own lives, you care so much about all your own things that you've neglected the things I've given you. What a privilege it is to pray. What a privilege it is to have God's inspired, preserved word in your lap, but many of us don't even open it each and every day. This is God's revelation of himself to us, and we don't even read it, much less meditate. Much less memorize, much less apply it to our lives, which is commanded in all those different ways in the Word of God. And think about it. The person of the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, is willing to lead us, willing to direct us, willing to enable us, willing to fill us, willing to produce fruit in our lives. But we neglect it. We don't give him the opportunity to do those things. Consider your ways today. Go back and give some thought. Maybe you're not going to be able to do it all in the invitation time. Maybe this afternoon you'll go and say, you know what, 2020, I did neglect my prayer life. 2020, I did neglect that relationship I have with God, that fellowship I have with God. It's not as sweet as it used to be. There's something wrong. Just like Mary and Joseph, they misplaced it. They had to go back and find it. There might be something that you have to give up and go back and find the greatest gift, which is that relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to lose your salvation, but the sweetness of the fellowship that you have and that you can have. I'm going to encourage you, don't neglect prayer. You might neglect some gift that you got. You might not eat the fruitcake that you got. You might not wear the crazy Christmas sweater that you got. But don't neglect the privileges and the gifts that God's given us. Prayer, reading our Bible, the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, and there's so many more. There's the responsibilities he's given us. There's other things that God has given us a privilege to be part of a church family, our own physical family. He's given us resources. He's given us talents. He's given us parables about those things. Consider your ways. How are you doing with those things? How are you accomplishing with what God's given you? He's given you so much. Don't neglect that gift. So many people misuse the gifts that they're given. And I know we've looked at the gift of the presence of God, the gift of helps, and the gift of life. Don't miss this. Don't neglect the gift he's given you. There is one other thing I don't want you to neglect. I know most people here today would say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm thankful for that, and I praise the Lord for that. Don't neglect those gifts. But those that are here today and say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my personal Savior, no, don't neglect the opportunity. He's given you an opportunity. You've heard the preaching and teaching of the Word of God multiple times. You've heard that Jesus Christ died for you and that he paid your sin debt on that cross. You've heard that we're all sinners and that we're all in need of a Savior. Don't neglect the opportunity he's given you, because there's going to come a day when you're not going to have that opportunity anymore. And if you're here this morning and do not know Christ as your Savior, I don't care if this is your 10th time at our church, first time, or you've been here hundreds of times. It doesn't matter to me. All of us have to come to the point where we realize we're in need of a Savior, and we need to ask, see what Christ did on that cross. We need to humble ourselves and repent of our sins and cry out to God. Have you ever done that? Don't neglect the opportunity. I think that a message like this is something that some people will look at and say, I've heard all that before. Okay, well, consider your ways. I mean, you've heard it before, but has it changed your life? Because prayer, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God, it can change your life. There's something wrong. We need to go back. You've misplaced something. Let's get back and find it. And those are ways that we can get back in that sweet fellowship that we long for and that we desire. Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I do want to ask a question this morning. And that question is, do you know that you're a Christian? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? If you can say, Pastor, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, then praise the Lord. I pray you don't neglect any of those privileges that God's given you. But to those in the room that say, hey, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my personal Savior, and I would like to know more about him. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you in the back, take you to one of the rooms in the back in a private manner and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Is there someone here today that would say, hey, Pastor, I know I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to know how to become one. I'd like to learn more about it. Would you raise your hand so we can have someone come and talk with you? Anybody at all? Don't neglect the opportunities you have. We don't know how many more we have, young or old. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for your word. Thankful for the privilege of prayer. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. Amazing opportunities that so often we neglect. Help us not to neglect these things. Lord, help us to see them as privileges and gifts from you that we will not neglect. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we will consider our ways. Consider what it was like in 2020, if we've grown or if we've fallen back, if we've misplaced that such a special relationship that we have. And Lord, that you would work in our hearts and work in our lives about not neglecting these awesome gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead.